Megan McCain has entered the chat.
Welcome back to Citizen McCain. We were on our hiatus. Yes. Thank you all for putting up with it, for being so patient. I think we should start with you, Miranda. Really quickly. If you're listening on the podcast, you want to join us on the Zoom, you can register to do that at 2way.tv/Megan. And if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel at Citizen McCain YouTube, please do. I have to get that in, otherwise I'm going to forget. I'm really excited today. My brother Jimmy is our guest, which is a good guest to have back. I don't think he's been on this incarnation of the show. He's been on every show I've ever done in one form or another, but I don't think he's been on this one. So very excited to have him. We have a lot to talk to him about. But how was your – did you take a vacation?
No.
Did you go anywhere?
No, I didn't go anywhere because my girls went back to school the first week that we were off. So like they start school here midweek. So we had like back to school night and first day of school and all that stuff. So I spent all of last week dropping them off at school and then coming home and going to sleep. I just slept the whole break. It was fantastic. Like if we weren't doing the show right now, I'd be in bed sleeping. But I got very into Hunting Wives, that show on Netflix. You still need to watch it because
Ashley said she really likes it. I heard it's like really graphic. I heard it's like quite sexual.
but for like seconds at a time. It's not like gratuitous, I would say, at least up until the part where I'm at. I haven't watched the whole series yet. I'm about halfway through because I'm trying to pace myself with it. And I can't watch it when the girls are home. And when they're not home, I'm sleeping, like I said. So, and then also got very into that Netflix movie, K-pop Demon Hunters, because my girls became obsessed with it. Have you seen that yet?
No.
Liberty would probably like it. And it's not like inappropriate for children because both Coco and Cece are obsessed with it to the point that I had to go to the movie theater over the weekend for that sing-along thing that they did that just like blew open the box office, and we're going to talk about it later, but which was incredibly fun and very cute and like sold out and everyone's singing and in costumes and it was adorable. So that was my break. It was very calm and chill and lovely. So.
We went to the Outer Banks. We drove with our children and had a good time. Obviously, it was beautiful to go to the ocean and my in-laws came for a few days, which was really nice. But as anyone knows, going on vacation with children is not really a vacation. You're just taking care of them in a different location.
Harder.
I was like, when Ben and I drove, we had to come back a few days early because there was a hurricane. And Ben was like, we'll ride it out.
Aaron, Hurricane Aaron.
Yes. Ben was like, we'll ride it out. And I was like, so we're not riding it out.
I'm pregnant. He's like the man who tapes himself to the pole.
Yes. And he was like, it's going to be fine. Apparently, it actually wasn't that bad, like from my understanding. But I was like, if a tree bashes through the window or we lose power or whatever, like I am not equipped to handle this.
Or your car gets smashed
right now.
Oh my gosh.
Totally. No. So we drove back, but we actually stopped at Busch Gardens on the way back. And Ben took the girls to Busch Gardens and they rode their like first roller coasters, which is basically the greatest thing that's ever happened to them ever in the history of the world. Williamsburg is a weird vibe. Just of anyone historic, Williamsburg is like, it's like a very interesting place. It's 1995 everywhere. Like, it's like everything is still respectful to this place. The hotel we stayed at, I was like, it's 1995 in this hotel room. And we still had a great time. But relaxing? No, but we still had a nice time.
Do you maybe want to take another week off?
I mean, I would love to take a week off and just be quiet, but I don't think that's possible. But the girls are starting school soon and we're all going to get back into everything. And I understand because Ashley showed me with the sign. My brother is actually here. So let's let him in so he can join the conversation. Hello,
Jimmy.
Where is that your office? Look at how serious you are.
So cool.
Really quickly, I have an introduction for you. This is my brother, Jimmy, or Jim. Jim McCain is a veteran, my brother. I think you have more titles than that.
That's all we're going to give
you,
though.
And you can find him. Is this correct? Jim MCAZ on Instagram. Is that correct?
Yes.
Are you on any other form of social media?
No, no.
You were on Twitter for like a hot second and you hated it, which is fine.
I did.
Because it's a cesspool. I really like this fancy office you're in. He also has a day job. I don't know if you're allowed to say you have a day job other than still being active in the military. Did you go on vacation? Jimmy has two small children, my two nephews. Did you go on vacation at all this summer? Did you do anything? Is vacationing with your kids as much of a not vacation as it was for me?
I'm actually in the reserves, not active, and I spent most of the summer with them, but Holly and the boys went to California for the whole summer. By the way, Miranda, our sister Bridget went to the sing-along this weekend. She loved it, and she came over to my house after, and I go, how was it? She goes, overwhelming.
It's a lot. And it's like, I'm not even like super into it, just the girls are, and even I was like getting like overwhelmed and like with chills and see, cause seeing it on the big screen with the music all out, it's a lot. It's a great story. I recommend it.
We're a big K-pop Demon Hunter house. Also,
yes. See,
so Jimmy, I've watched it 600
double endorsement.
Times.
Yes.
I don't even know what it is.
I know all the songs. It was Soda Pop and we're playing it in the car and all. Oh my gosh. It's so good. And the music, the music is good. I can't lie. It's not like Disney Moana where you want to like put earplugs in. The songs are good. They're catchy.
I don't mind Moana.
I also have a Williamsburg story as well, Megan. I, like 10 years ago, I was visiting dad in DC and it was like 5 o'clock on a Friday and I live in DC. I don't realize the traffic. And I was like, hey, I got to get down to Virginia Beach. And he's like, yeah, just take off. And I was like, what about like traffic? It's fine. And I was like, so it's
like
horrible.
A 6 hour drive.
Yeah. And I'm spending like all this time. So it's like 9 o'clock at night and I just pull into Williamsburg and I was like, I can't even make it to Virginia Beach. I called the guy. I was like, I'm not going to make it. And I get a hotel room and I went down to the hotel lobby and all these people, like there's a million people in the lobby. And I was like, what's going on? And they're like, Styx is playing at Busch Gardens. We're all going to see Styx. So I just went with these random people and saw Styx at Busch Gardens.
Was it good?
And then I saw dad on Monday when I went up and he was like, how are you doing? I was like, I saw Styx at Busch Gardens. And he's like, what?
What are you doing with your life? Right. There was some band playing there because Ben sent me a video of, and I didn't go because I can't go because you can't ride rides when you're pregnant. And it was nice just to like have time to myself for a minute. But there was some band playing there, and Clover was dancing a lot. So I don't know who it is. And by the way, like a gig's a gig. Busch Gardens is fine. Like whatever.
Good enough for Styx. I mean, why not?
But I saw Weapons right before we went to the beach, and I thought it was like a really fantastic horror movie. I mean, I don't know if either of you have seen
it. I'm dying to, but
what the hell's wrong with everybody that works on this show? Go see Weapons. Really good.
And I had to sleep last week.
Number one, it's really good. It's a really good horror movie.
Bridget took me to the sneak screening of Hell House last night, which is the fifth one in a. It's the fifth one in a line of movies that are genuinely not the best, but me and Bridget really like them. It's like about this haunted house in New York and they've been going for like 20 years. They've been making these movies. So Bridget called me last night. She was like, you want to go see this movie? And I was like, sure. It was horrible. But we
are they like bad good?
Yeah.
That's like, my sister. Know, like,
I love
the priest gets killed.
Bridget always knows what's cool though. So I trust her judgment.
What do I have to do to get her on the show? She's like, no.
I think we'd have to pay. I think we have to pay her.
Yeah. I don't care. Okay, so one of the reasons we had you on, Jimmy, was that today, and this is very sad, is the 7th anniversary of our dad dying of brain cancer. I went to his grave yesterday. I texted you and the rest of the family the picture. There's still so many people that bring so many things, like flags, just strangers, people we don't know. People always ask me, I was considering like not coming on the show today because I was like, am I going to be too sad? But I actually feel okay. But I think it's because yesterday I had a sad day and I like cried half the morning. People always ask me how you deal with grief, how you process the death of a you know, big person in your family. How are you feeling today? And what do you say to people who are in the midst of grief who have just lost someone they love?
I mean, you know.
Also, it doesn't help that you look just like him, and I feel like I'm in a
crazy
dumb dad.
I'm gray. That's it, you know. the greatest genetic gift he gave me was that I went gray at like 18.
I know everyone in our family, including me, goes gray at like a college. Like I'm full gray too. I'm like a witch. So is Miranda. It's fine. But
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
you
But you still
really have
have
gone.
your
Came in.
hair. So thank goodness for that. Yes, it's all
That's
there.
all that matters. It's all about how much, not what color it is, you know. But
Not losing it.
I mean, I think that I was in Iraq and Afghanistan really young, so I think that I was dealing with close friends passing away at kind of a age you kind of weren't supposed to be dealing with that 100%. Excuse me. So I think I've not become numb to it, but I've become used to kind of my process, if you will. And especially with Dad, you know, I had so much time with him. I had the luck really of the Army gave me a leave of absence when he was diagnosed, and me and Holly moved up, you know, for a while, you know that, Megan, and we were very much able to like close the door together on that. It
Yeah.
was one of the best times of my life, was spending, you know, every day with him, and you know, hearing all the stupid jokes and everything, and you know, and all that. And see, as one, I was trying to think of like what when I laughed the hardest that time this morning, and it came into my head when I was getting ready today. And he was telling me about this time that I think it was in San Carlos at the Apache Reservation here in Arizona. But there was a this is like he'd just been elected to Congress, right? And Mo Udall was like big deal, and not only in the United States because his brother was Secretary of Interior and JFK, but it was a huge deal in Arizona. You know, Mo Udall and John McCain, or like, you know, Barry Goldwater, these like epic names here in Arizona. And he'd never met him. He'd never met Mo Udall. And he told me that, so this the
He's
water
obsessed with
problem. So,
him.
and it's always water in Arizona, right? Justifiably. It's always a water problem. So he said that something was happening in San Carlos and he had to go down. And I don't know if it was San Carlos, but it was somewhere down south. And he had to go down, and he goes, and it's like a high school, and there's, you know, a couple thousand angry people, and the guy's been in Congress for like 5 minutes, and he goes in the back of this high school. He can hear everyone yelling, and there's Mo Udall, and he'd never met him. And he walks over and he's like, "John, it's good to see you. And Mo, it's nice to meet you. You know, they're both vets. You know, Mo was in World War II." And he, yeah, we should really get together in DC. And he says, "You know, Mo, should we talk about the water?" He says, "Hey, we'll get to that. You know, how you doing? How's Cindy? You know, all this stuff, right?" And finally they say, "You guys got to go in." And Dad says, he freaks out because he hadn't talked to Mo about what they're going to tell these like 3,000 angry people. So they walk in and they open the door and they sit down, and all these people say, "What are you going to do about the water?" And Mo Udall goes, "Me and John have been friends for years. We were just back there talking about it. And we're going to take care of it." He's like, "What?" And then they got to him, he said, "John, let's get together in DC." And they didn't talk about it at all. And it just cracked me up because it's like, you know, these like two old Arizona vets are just like, you know, kind of BSing their way, you know, fake it till you make
Like
it,
for
if you
people that
will.
are not from Arizona, Jimmy, Mo Udall was a famous congressman who also ran for president and lost. And then Barry Goldwater was a famous senator who lost. And then my dad obviously was a famous senator who lost running for president. And there's a folklore that you cannot actually become president being from Arizona. It's like not possible. And Mo Udall had a lot of, he was like also known for sort of like his one-liner comics, like his comedy that is still everybody in politics says all the time. My personal favorite is that he said he was in New Hampshire and he went to a barber shop and he said, "I'm Mo Udall, I'm running for president." And the barber said, "Yeah, we were just laughing about that this morning."
My favorite Mo Udall joke is he was going to hit a golf ball, and this reporter said, "Hey Mo, what's your handicap?" And he goes, "I'm a one-eyed Democrat from Northern Arizona. That's handicapped enough." But I mean, but you know,
And he
it's
was very
somewhat.
self-deprecating. He was like a silly man, like in a good way, but like an era that doesn't really exist anymore. Like didn't take himself seriously
Everyone
and
takes
was,
themselves so seriously now.
yeah, was like always make and like I think that's why he was so beloved in Arizona was that he wasn't a he was just I don't know. Arizona really likes originals, and I think that's why. But Dad
When he did
revered him.
the worst Arizona war ever, that I love, that Dad would always get a kick out of his so at Guam, on the most left point of Guam is Udall Point. In the Virgin Islands, the most
Didn't know
western
that.
point, Udall Point. So America's day begins and ends with a Udall. So there you
Wait,
go.
is that
There you
true?
go.
I love
Yeah. Stuart Udall, when he was Secretary of
that. Oh my
Interior,
God.
did that. You know. But I mean, it's stuff like that that I laugh
Guam.
about. To tie it back to Dad, it's stuff like that that I just laugh about. Like, you know, now it's been 7 years, and I just kind of think about just the funny times and how absolutely hilarious he is. I mean, his legacy is so amazing. Such an amazing man. I mean, I was in Ukraine last year and I got to see John McCain Street there. And, he had this lasting effect on the whole world. But what I love is the come here, you little jerk, put the salt on the ribs, that kind of stuff that I think I miss the most, but also makes me the happiest, that we had these amazing experiences that I feel like we were able to spend. I mean, as obviously as his children is how it was, but we had this like different side of him, the bug t-shirt and the crappy shoes and the Levi's that he didn't change since
He
1970,
was
and
not
you know what I
fancy at
mean?
all. At all. He was not a fancy man. I also think that sometimes one of the things Jimmy and I talk about that is so hard is that so many people, because he's sort of become this like saint figure in politics, which in some ways he earns. But one thing that Jimmy's like talking about that's so important, at least to me, is when I say to people, I'm like, he was not precious. He had a really filthy, dark sense of humor. And he did not take him, again, he did not take himself as seriously as the rest of the world did. And I think he would be like entertained and confused by the way some people talk about him, because he just was
Yes.
not, he was not precious. He was not, and that's always for me, like, it's not difficult, but it certainly presents an interesting challenge when people talk to me about him in a way that is like, he was like a Mitt Romney type person. Like, if, like, he
Right.
was in trouble all the
Like
time
he's
for
wearing
something.
suits around the house
Yeah,
and
like,
all.
he was. And he just like had a really foul mouth. He was like always swearing. Like he just like he
He's a
was, I
normal
guess,
person. Yeah.
not fancy at all. Like was always, we had like a really hard time getting him to like change his jeans. And like he really liked to just like cook and get dirty in Arizona. And I mean like literally like go in a dirty creek and like hike and get dirty. And when people are like, oh, he was this like, I'm like, he was really not like that at all. Like he was really very funny and irreverent. And like, I don't know, just even some of the stuff that I remember one time, Jimmy, and I don't know if you remember this, we were at a bookstore with him. It was like Borders, when Borders still existed. And somebody came up to him, because crazy people would always come up to him and like spout their conspiracy theories. And he was like, I know you know what I'm about to say. And the guy was like,
Oh, I
I
know
was
this story. This
abducted,
is a good
he's
one.
like, I was
Yeah.
abducted. And the aliens have put a probe in my brain, and they told me that, like, something about how he was abducted by aliens. And he goes, and I know that you know that that happened. And Dad goes, I do. And it did.
He's like, it's all true. It's all true. Yeah.
I think my favorite is when I thought it was the story you're going to tell when we were in a Borders again, and some guy walked up to him and he goes, "I've been looking for you for 40 years." And he said, "Oh, I'm right here." And he goes,
You found me.
I know every he goes, "I know everything about the Gulf of Tonkin incident and about how it was aliens again and how aliens actually enacted the Gulf of Tonkin." And without missing a beat, he was like, "We'll get to it. Like, thanks." And we walked off and I go, "Are you gonna?" And he goes, "No, what is that?" Like, it really showed you like how to be a person, right? Like that
Yeah.
everybody
He just, he
like,
let people
even
hear. Yeah.
He was really good
and
at
that and that.
handling hecklers and dicks too. Like people who were mean to him, he would always disarm them. Like I remember one time when he was running for president, someone was like just ripping him apart. Like, you're a horrible candidate, and you voted against this and blah blah, and he go like this. And he was like, and what do you have to say for that? And he goes, I'm not your candidate. Vote for someone else. And I was like, it's just gangster shit that like, I remember being like, and the guy was like, and he was like, I'm not, you gotta vote for somebody else. Like, I'm not gonna give you what you want. And I feel like no one would ever do that now. No one would be like, basically go fuck yourself. It's
Just
just all so
shy of that, yes.
scripted. Yes. My other favorite thing is that The Daily Show, your dad was the most frequent guest on The Daily Show ever when he died. I don't know if he still is. And he, like, for some reason, Jon Stewart like ended up like turning on him and like going after him and all this stuff. So Dad stopped going on his show. And then when Jon Stewart retired, Jon Stewart had like a John McCain puppet. It was like this puppet that he impersonated my dad. And then when, I should have brought this clip today, I didn't even think about it. But when the show went off the air, Dad had a Jon Stewart puppet, and he did it. And he was like, I'm Jon Stewart. I'm an asshole. I'm a fraud. Nobody likes me. And then it pans out, and it's my dad, and he goes, so long, asshole. So long, jackass. After, and it's like he was just really funny. That's the part. If anyone asked me, like, what's the thing you miss the most about your dad more than anything, how he was so funny. My other story, and then we will, I promise, move on to hot topics, but it is the 7th anniversary since he died. And normally it's, like I said, incredibly sad. I went to visit his grave yesterday, which, by the way, there were strangers going by to look at his grave. It's crazy that it's
amazing.
This tourist. It's like a tourist attraction, which is so.
Does that bother you or do you like it?
It's lovely, but the people that were there did end up leaving because I think they figured out, because I was crying, you'd have to be like this,
it's ghoulish to sit there and watch you grieve.
I don't remember what I was going with this about his. I was going to tell another story. Oh, on election day,
that I got in trouble at his grave. If you remember that, me and you went with Ben years ago. And it was maybe a year or two after he died. And I brought a bottle of Belvedere. The man barely ever drank, but if he did, it was a singular glass of Belvedere. And we set it at the grave, you and me and Ben. And I set it at the grave. And then I don't know why we were walking away and I Instagrammed a picture of it. And I said, look, if anyone in the Naval Academy wants a bottle of booze, it's at John McCain's grave right now. And apparently it turned into a whole incident. And I ended up getting a call and they were like, you can't bring alcohol and all this stuff.
Oh my gosh, I've done that before though.
Yeah, I was like, well, go get rid of it then.
Yeah, court martial. Yeah.
Also, you can respectfully do almost anything you want there with bring whatever you want. I always bring a cactus or a succulent and flowers, and I brought a picture, and then I bring some kind of rock from Sedona. So I brought a crystal from Sedona too. But yeah, it doesn't stop being sad. I was really sad yesterday. I feel okay today. I'm just trying to distract myself and whatever. But it never, I wish someone would have told me you just learn to deal with it. It's like, speaking of horror movies, the Babadook movie is supposed to be about grief and death. And I always say it's like the Babadook. It's like this monster that just lives with me and we have learned to live together. That's how and some days are really bad. As you know, Jimmy, because I always call you having a nervous breakdown. And sometimes I just don't feel anything. So it just is what it is. But his mark and legacy is still so enormous. I cannot do anything anywhere without someone bringing him up, even just going to the grocery store. I cannot escape. I will never escape his legacy. And it's wonderful because Democrats and Republicans love him. It's a gift. Everybody loves him. I don't worry about what space I'm in. Someone always has something nice to say about Dad. Is there anything else you want to add on to any of this, Jimmy? You're always such a source of support for everyone. And it sucks. It just sucks. There's no way. I'm not going to tell anybody who's lost someone that it gets easier. But time does make it, actually, Shooter Jennings, his dad was Waylon Jennings, told me this, that it gets quieter. And I think that's a good way to describe it. It's never gone, but it does get quieter. It doesn't consume me the way that it once did.
I think, time heals pain.
Yeah.
And, it was such a horrible thing. But, I mean, we did have something that a lot of families don't get, and that was that time that we got with him, and we were able to close that door. And I think the thing that I love the most, if I had to choose something about such a horrible experience, is that I don't have anything I wish I said to him. I don't have anything I wish we could have said and had one more along. Most families don't get that. Car accident at 2 p.m. on the 51 is something, you spend the rest of your life wishing you told him one more time, and me and you and everyone got those last months. So I think on that, the most that I was able to really close that door with him. And then that's why I lean so heavily into the happy times now. And that, the trees and the fish and the otter and all this stuff that the man cared about. And I think that to finish that part, that's the part that nobody realized, is that dealing with Vladimir Putin was just important to the man as the otter eating our fish in the pond.
I was about to say, you're going to bring up the otter. There was an otter that ate his fish. That was basically the worst thing that's ever happened in the entire world. It was the most angry his he's nemesis. Ever been. Fairness, it did eat all the fish, but it was he was so fixated on this otter and how to get rid of it. And I was like, I just remember you calling me I was in the car then one time. He's like, I need to call Jimmy. And he goes, Jimmy, the otter. I need, because Jimmy lives in Arizona. That was in DC.
We got to kill that otter. Oh my God, dude. He's just a little furry creature.
Baby. Yeah.
Oh God. If you guys, the amount of things I had to hear about that goddamn otter forever. And then also he was obsessed with the bats and the bat houses. And there's a man in Sedona that specializes in bats that would come to like do our bat stuff there. And it was just, that's the kind of crap. You're totally right. It was like, if people knew what he was like personally, it was nothing like, again, the saint.
Normal dad stuff.
We have kept that legacy going about the bats, by the way. And now we have 6 bat houses and an entire bat colony. So I have not dropped the bats up north. And we, I think that also, you know, you were just in Sedona this summer, but
I saw the bats. You know,
the bats, you know, they shit everywhere and we can't do anything about it because they love them. And, you know, we, you know, stuff like that, the fruit trees, like I go help the guys plant the trees and things like that. But I think that working with the land up there also helps a lot because it was so important to them, you know, this little, that little slice of paradise where we grew up. And that place is where I feel the closest, you know, they,
yeah, same.
I'll tell you one emotional story and then we can stop. But we were sitting together and it was close to the end. And with these large cottonwoods, you know, up there, and the wind comes through and they make this very unique sound. And I'll never forget, he looked over to me and he goes, "You ever hear that after I'm gone? That's me talking to you." And I was like,
"Man, always says that."
So those were, that's, you know, anytime you hear the wind, that's him, you know what I mean? Or the freaking hawk, you know what I mean? So.
It's really beautiful up there, and I wish I could live up in Sedona, but Ben won't let me. But it's like, it's a very special place, and everyone should go to Sedona once. It's very spiritual. It's very beautiful, and we're very lucky that we still have our place there. We've had to have like 30,000 conversations about like how Jimmy's going to take care of the bats for the rest of our lives. Apparently, if anyone wants to raise their digital hand and join a conversation about grief, or we're going to move to news in a second, please obviously do, Jimmy. We have a live audience watching, and then this streams. Oh, we do have a question. Okay, let's add someone in, and then we'll move on. I swear we have a bunch. I have a ton of hot topics.
We have so much to talk about. Yeah.
Yes. Hi, Lucas.
Hey, Lucas.
How's it going?
Lucas is one of our.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
Oh yeah, I was just saying you're one of our frequent callers. Thank you so much for taking time today, Lucas.
Hey, I appreciate that you're on Monday mornings at 11. It gives me something to do as I'm kind of like working throughout the day. First off,
it's my brother Jimmy.
It's great to meet your family. That's also one of why I joined. My name's Lucas. I'm from Chicago, Mr. McCain. My question was, I recently just finished that book that Mark Halperin
Game Change.
He's pushing out there. It was the one that Senator McCormick wrote with his wife about mentoring. Who inspired you? Who helped you, or something like that?
Okay.
I'm bad with the name off the top of my head. And it was incredibly insightful and beautifully written. And I honestly really think Senator McCormick has a very bright future probably in the party. He seems like a well thought out dude, which made me kind of want to ask you guys, were there any mentors between you and your brother, with the exception of your father and your mom, that really impacted you guys in your career? And also, was there some kind of weird mentor that your dad potentially had that people might not have thought of or known about that impacted him as a politician or a father, et cetera?
Do you want to start, Jimmy, and then I'll go?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people forget that in the early days, dad was very close to people like John Tower and, of course, Mo Udall and Barry Goldwater and, you know, Bruce Babbitt, like these people from Arizona. As he became more and more of like an international man, a lot of people forget that like Arizona is the man, you know, the dirt is red from his blood, right? That's, you know, where it was. So I think as he became up into politics, it was kind of this Reagan era, but he had such a great group of people here in Arizona. And I know John Tower's not from Arizona, obviously, but it's no one really mentions that these guys back in the day, and as he grew and grew and grew, he was really mentored around. Before that, you know, he was in the Navy for so long. And I think less mentors, he had friends that they leaned on each other. You know, Bud Day won the Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
And, this group of guys, they're still kind of, some of them are still around, God bless. And they had this like, really core group. So I think as his mentoring was, I would give you, just to answer the question fully, is the beginning and end of dad's mentoring of made him who it was his obsession with reading. He would read and read and read.
Yeah.
And that would That was the key. I mean, every memory of my life starts with him and the book in his hand and me feeling like I'm interrupting, right? Like, and I think that he would always tell me, you know, you gotta, you know, you'll never run into a situation in your life you won't be ready for if you don't read, right? Which later on Matt has said, and I don't know if they got it from each other, if it's just a great quote, but it that kind of, and he's passed it on, you know. I read a lot. Megan reads a lot. Like, it's kind of a trait in our family that we just continually, you know, you want to read a bunch. So I think for anyone asking, you know, hey, you know, I don't have this amazing person like a Bud Day to mentor me. Just read it up. That's like where the opportunity is. You know what I mean? Most of these people wrote books. So, you know, which one funny story, if you want to hear it real quick, is, so I was like 14 and I was like, hey, I really like reading, Dad. And I've been reading like Dungeons and Dragons and stuff. And I was like, do you have anything to recommend? I said, yeah, let's go to a bookstore together. I said, yeah, let's go. You know, so we go over to this bookstore. He buys me For Whom the Bell Tolls, Of Human Bondage by Somerset Maugham, right?
Some
Like
light
all these
reading,
like
yeah. For a
insane
14-year-old.
books that a 14-year-old should not be reading. And he gives them to me and I read them, right? And you know, and then I read Of Human Bondage specifically. And I remember it stuck out because I didn't understand that Somerset Maugham was using the club foot as an example for his closeted homosexuality. And Dad explained it to me. And he was like, this is how you express yourself. Like, this is good literature, you know. And it really made me look at the whole world differently. And at the time, you don't realize it, but you realize it now as a grown man that he was mentoring and cultivating me into being a good person in his own way, showing that everybody's the same, everybody deserves everything. And that I think has always stuck out to me, because with books, you know, not to get into books here, but with books you can change someone's life if you can just get them to do it, man. You know what I mean? So there you go. That I should be a kindergarten teacher, right? Books are great, but
Oh,
I
thank
read
God.
that myself. We'll
Don't
get
let a
there.
kindergartner read that book. Lucas, my dad, the other people that were like around all the time was Senator Ted Kennedy before he died. He was one of his best friends. And then Senator Joe Lieberman. I have like a lot of core memories of being around both those men quite a bit. And Joe Lieberman in particular, because his family would be around our family a lot. They would come to Arizona and hang out and we would go on trips together. And Joe Lieberman was like of a total opposite of my dad. Like he was very like not in their politics, but just like he never swore. He was like very gentle. He was like very calm, very like introspective, kind of quiet. And they were always like they like polar opposite personalities, which is why I think they got along. I never heard Joe Lieberman swear once in his entire life, like ever. So I would think
Even when he
they
lost it, like the vice presidency.
No, you know what? He was like a
Wow.
class act. He was always like, even I can even remember asking him like a few years ago when we were having dinner, like when you ran for vice president, and for people that don't know, he was Al Gore's running mate in the year 2000. Did you experience anti-Semitism? And he was like, no. And I was like, that's like incredible. You were either like, it either really wasn't existing 25 years ago, or you just see the good in everything. And I don't know
Or
what
he's
the
too
answer to
polite to bring it up because it's so
that is.
nasty. Yeah. So I think I miss like one of the things I miss is just being around the two of them. And I when Joe Lieberman died, gosh, a year, almost 2 years ago, year and a half ago, I was just wrecked the same way. It really hit me really intensely, because it felt like a bookend off of like this period of my life. And whenever I would go to New York, or Ben, I would go to New York, we would always go to every kosher restaurant on the Upper West Side with him and his wife Hadassah. And it felt very familiar and like homey. And especially right after my dad died, I would hang out with them qu like quite a bit more than like, you know, they were very kind and very lovely about it. But that was very difficult when he passed as well. And he passed very abruptly. You know, he had a head injury and just died almost immediately. There was no like lead up to it like there was with my dad. So those are the people that really stick out to me. I don't know if I'm missing anybody else. And then, like Jimmy said, Barry Goldwater was the iconic senator from Arizona who really gave his legacy over to my dad when he got older, and apparently was a huge fan of my mother's. And
And
that was a big part of
who
why he liked
isn't?
my dad, Barry
And
Goldwater. He liked thought mom was pretty.
she is.
So
She's a
then,
stunner.
And then one last thing before I let the
Sure.
next person go. With the exception of course, your father and your parents, who do you guys see as mentors within your career and your life? With the
All
exception
right.
of
Can
course,
I have
Mr.
one
McCain, sorry.
polite Joe Weberman story before I answer that?
Yeah, by all
So
means. I'm just trying
a
to take
lot
up
of
any
people
time.
forget. I saw Joe Weberman in Iraq in like 2006. He flew into a place called Hodeidah, where the Marine Corps was, and I was like, I hadn't showered in like 4 months, and I was like, my uniform was beat up and all this. And he, like, to Megan's point of him being so polite, I remember seeing him being like, Senator Lieberman, it's good to see you, and all this, and him going, Jimmy, you look terrible. And I was like,
What?
I just feel, well, I appreciate it. You know what I mean? And it was just, it's such a, I have a picture that of me, him, Joe Lieberman, me and dad in Iraq. And it just always stuck out because, like, dad was excited to see me. I'm his son. And then Lindsey Graham was there too. And he, but he was a colonel in the Air Force. So it was like a little different. And then there's just like Joe Lieberman, who's like, this is
It's like, you
awful.
smell like hell, Jimmy.
I never forget that. But
For some
for personal
reason,
men.
did they tell
Oh,
you that they
sorry.
watched Borat on the way to Iraq the first time? Yeah, they always tell a
They
story about
were.
like how they watched Borat for the first time and they thought it was like so funny and they didn't get any sleep on the way to Iraq because they were watching Borat and laughing.
They
Again, it's just
were
like
quoting
weird
it. The
stories.
thought of
They
them sitting
love
around quoting like my wife and all that is
I know.
they
My
so the my wife is the one. So we're in this like chow hall in Habaniya, in this is Anbar early war, right? Like really rough place, and they come in, it's the three of them, and these like Iraqi generals came in and they wanted a picture of them. It was a big deal. We're trying to nation build, and they get a picture, and dad finishes the picture and he looks over and it's the three of them, and I'm standing there, and he literally was like, my wife. And I was like, okay. You gotta relax, man. You know what I
All the
mean?
Borat movies were so funny. I don't know why. And I was like,
They
he was
are,
like,
though.
but
They're all
he
good.
acted like it was like this indie comedy that nobody had seen. He was like, have you heard of the movie Borat? And I was like, it was like a giant hit. I think like won an Academy Award. Like it was like a huge movie. But I always remember that. And Joe Lieberman would, he was, I mean, I think we're all Sacha Baron Cohen fans, but he was always like, I remember when your dad and I watched. Oh, another last final Joe Lieberman story. I swear to God, we're gonna move off of this. My dad fell asleep on some trip, like some Codel trip, and he said he woke up and Joe Lieberman, who is a Orthodox Jewish man, was praying and like I guess he like had the there's like a thing you like wrap around your wrist. I apologize, I don't know the like official term for it. And my dad said he woke up and he thought he died.
Oh, yeah. Like you
He
fell
was like, I
yes,
assumed I died,
on the
and Joe
plane.
Lieberman is welcoming me to the afterlife. So it's just stuff like that. They were just both, again, is the thing that I feel like in my heart and my head that is missing so much from politics today is this self-deprecating humor and a way to not take yourself quite as seriously. And they were just always laughing and making fun of themselves. And I just like, respectfully, like, can you imagine JD Vance making fun of himself in any capacity?
Well,
Probably
and
not,
genuine
No.
friendships instead of just alliances for,
Yeah.
ladder climbing. I don't feel like that's happening anymore, which is sad.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, Lucas, thank you so much. Call
Hey,
back
thank you. I
anytime.
appreciate the
It's
conversation.
always wonderful to see you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to say before we move on to a little hot topic? So we've still got a lot of time left, Jimmy. I still can't believe you have this official office. When did you get so serious with your
Oh,
office?
Mr. Big Time over here. You know what I mean? It's just because we're telling Joe Lieberman stories. I got one more. So
Okay. Ashley's
we
laughing.
did the Sabbath. Well, the last time with Joe came out to the ranch, and we did it with Dad one last time. And I'll never forget. So Joe Lieberman's father owned a liquor store in Connecticut when he was growing up, and he was pouring the ceremonial wine, and I didn't realize it's like highly fortified. Right. I didn't realize it's a very high alcohol content. And he was telling me about how his dad, people would steal it out of their store all the time. And dad's sitting there and how he grew up and kind of a rough way he grew up and all that. It was a great story. And then as we're sitting there, dad was like, and he like grabbed it and was like, get out of here, man. What are you doing? You know what I
Popping
mean?
shots.
But that was a very nice, it was a nice like last time. That was the last time I saw Joe Lieberman too, was that night we all sat together and then. You know, I took off after that, but it's a great. There is another lady with her hand up, by the way.
Oh,
If you want, you can see that.
okay. Elena. Oh, we love Elena. Okay. Thank
Oh,
you
we
so
love
much.
Elena.
And then like I said, we have hot topics here. Elena, it's so nice to see
Hi,
you. This
Elena.
is my brother Jimmy.
Oh.
Thank you for coming on. Any questions for me or Jimmy or Miranda?
I just have to say, Jimmy, you don't just look like your father, you sound like him. It's like,
Elena, he does, you wouldn't know this,
and
but he
the
does the same hand
I was
gesture
saying the
every time.
mannerisms, it's like
Yeah.
very surreal watching him tell these stories
So
'cause
I want to
it's
I
dark,
have so
yeah.
many stories about Leap. I was in No Labels when we were running that
Oh,
third
okay.
candidate. I unfortunately never officially got to meet Senator Lieberman, but he has a book. I don't know if you've read his book. It's a really great book. I actually became an Orthodox Jew. I wasn't always Orthodox. And I kind of really looked at him and said, yeah, you could be in politics and still be an Orthodox Jew. It's possible. And with Senator Kennedy, I used to work for Senator Jeffords, and Senator Kennedy was the chair of the committee. And I will never forget, like, my mom, who passed many, many years ago, I was way too young when I lost her. She's the one who got me into the belief that politics was a noble profession, and that working was it you were a public servant, and 'cause she was just like a ward person, you know what I mean? But she was, and I just remember when President Kennedy passed away, it was the first time I was like 5, and I never saw my mother, so I hadn't experienced death at all, and she was so upset. I mean, it was like that. I thought, okay, this president is like an he's like he is like a king. I mean, he's like this very, very special person that was loved and beloved and all. And so when I got to meet Senator Kennedy, we went to his office with my senator, and like all these few you sort of like you feel like you stepped into, I mean, for me, I was like a middle class kid from Northeast Philly, you know, and I'm like I'm looking at all the pictures he's gotten, and they're like must have looked
Yeah.
like I was. And Senator Kennedy looks at me, goes, "Now, Elena, you're doing such a great job on healthcare, and we want to talk about it. So get out of
That's nice.
And he actually said to me when I left, and it was just, I mean, I think he would be my mentor if you would say it. And my father was a union guy and loved him, and I had him autograph a picture for my father, and of course he says we wouldn't be able to do healthcare reform without your daughter, which was like very nice for him to write, but you know we could have done it without me. And my father was I actually buried the picture with my
Oh,
father because
wow.
it was like, and it sounds weird I guess,
No.
but he said to me, I just want you to know you have what it takes to, you know, really get laws passed. You know how to understand, like the labor committee had the very far right people and very far left, and Jeffords was sort of like left, and you know the Republicans didn't like him so much because he was a little, but he, anyway, that's a whole nother story. So I was able to find, at least in healthcare, the issues that they both liked, and we put in legislation, and so whatever. I mean, it was just something that I did, you know. And he was said to me, you know, don't get out of this. The country needs you. And I was like, wow. And then like I did get out of it because like the Congress changed and everything. And it was kind of hard to do it at the state level. But when he passed away, I'm in Rhode Island. I went to his, I guess it wasn't the funeral. It was at the Kennedy Library in Boston, is where they had his viewing and all. And it was a hot, hot, hot day. I must have stood there for 2 hours just to tell
Wow.
his widow
Yeah.
what he said to me and how much it meant to me. And so I felt like I honored him.
What's weird is he died of the same brain cancer on the
I
same day as
know.
my dad. Isn't that
On the same
weird?
day?
He died on the same
Yeah.
day,
Oh, I didn't
August
know
25th
that.
today. It's eerie, right? And there's some
Yeah.
other Jimmy, you probably know this, but there's all this weird stuff about the day my dad died. I was like, and I'm gonna mess it up, but there's like a lot of political, like I
Like
don't
the
believe in
numerology of it.
coincidences.
I just
There's just
remember
like
this. I just remember
other
this.
famous figures. It's like Jefferson died the same. I'm gonna mess this
I'm
up, but
gonna
like
look it
there's
up
like,
right now.
yeah, anyway. Is there any question you want to ask Jimmy, Elena?
I want to know, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but are you considering running for office?
I always say he's the one that should.
I'd move to Arizona to vote for you.
Thank you, Elena.
I love
Well,
that.
Elena, where do you live? Let's hang out, man.
Well, I'm actually gonna move. I'm
Uh,
moving to Maryland. So if you run for office and win,
If you, I could give you lots of. I did Social Security, pensions. I'm older. I'd be
They'll
your,
hire you, Elena. Don't
I'd
worry.
staff those issues for you.
You're my number one call, Elena. I
Now, Jimmy,
already love
everybody
you.
always asks
Yeah.
me this about you. What is your answer?
I mean, I think I
Right
just
now, tell
returned
us.
from over. I just returned from overseas. I was on the Syrian Jordanian border for a while, and I just returned like a year ago this week, really. And I have two little boys. I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and we bought a home. We're kind of
I
getting
get
our
it.
life
I
together.
get it. I get
So
it.
I think I'm enjoying life, and a lot of people,
He's
when
only
I
like
post back,
36.
So you're young, man.
37.
I guess it's the gray hair, you know?
I just
He
look
looks
really
now,
old,
he looks really.
I think like with any form, I'm not saying I have post-traumatic stress from this last appointment, but because we were talking about grief, grief is its own form of post-traumatic stress, right? And each person has a process, you can read the stuff online that, you have denial and all this stuff. And regarding dad, and then, my military career is kind of, hopefully coming to an end. I think I'm just enjoying like my life right now. And the world is so crazy that you kind of have to almost mentally allow yourself that like blockage of like the chaos. There's a line that dad used to say, and it's don't only listen to the white noise in the background, right? And I spent all day in a pool yesterday with my kids, and it's stuff like that that I didn't get for a long time. I've been in and out and in and out for so long. So I think the answer to your question is I'm just enjoying life right now, man. And you know what I
But you
mean?
know
And
what?
it's
You know what? When the time is right, I totally hear you, and you should get that part of your life and enjoy it. And they are a little bit too little to really lose you again to like, I'm
Yeah.
seeing you all the time. But hopefully one day, one
I
day.
appreciate
Elena,
it. Well,
my answer is that he needs his tough ass sister to give him some good debate Oh,
and political
let him have a
prep
year. Let him have a.
beforehand and do
He's gonna
some.
get bored, McCain. He's gonna get maybe he's gonna get
You need
bored.
to do a lot of murder boards and then get him ready and then whatever. Jimmy's
Okay.
problem is he's too nice. Like that's a problem. It's like he
No, he's
wants
not. We need
everybody
nice
whatever. I'm like,
back. Listen,
huh?
no labels is starting to bring members together on the House and the Senate. And there
That's a
are
very nice
actually
organization. Yes.
it's September 11th, weird day. They're going to do it again. And it was and we get to like watch. It's like we're watching a anyway, and it's very nice to see some of these really conservative senators and how well they get along with, I wouldn't say ultra liberal members, but Democrats and stuff, and really joking around and sort of. And so I think that there is a place, and there will be a place. It's growing. It's in the infancy stage now to kind of be, I think, the place that your brother, Jim, that
Also,
you would like.
Arizona has done nothing but lose on the Republican side since my dad died. It's crazy. Like, cannot win an election to save their life. And I think at a certain point, people will get sick of losing and want to put a more normal, rational Republican up that's not named Carrie Lake. You didn't have to say anything, Jimmy. I'll say it. It's fine. But it's like, I do think, like,
They're
people.
embarrassing him, Megan. Look at
I
Scott.
think
Well,
I
people
think
misunderstand Arizona's politics. They think it is like, whatever, like,
well, I think
Respectful
I
to other
think
places, but it's not Mississippi. It's a very independent, libertarian, like it's a state that's like filled with people who really do not want to be told what to do or how to vote. And I think the MAGA doesn't work in the same way in Arizona that it works other places. And I think that idea, it has been, I've had to have very hard conversations with people in MAGA land about this. I'm like, you think that this antidote works in all places, just plug it in and it'll work in every state. It doesn't. And Arizona is like, quite frankly, patient zero of it. And so I think if Republicans were smart enough to have, I know Jimmy's politics, like a more independent, person that's in the legacy of all the people who have won elections for decades, then he had have a great opportunity. But I think in this moment of MAGA fever pitch, I agree that it's not like the moment for Jimmy, but when he does, he's gonna let me run his campaign and I'll do all the nasty stuff he doesn't
I
want
think
to.
like
And I
here's the
wanted to
thing.
say one thing
Yeah.
about time healing. My mom's it's 26 years since my mom has
Oh,
passed, all
wow.
right? And my brother was here helping me pack, which is like and he's Mr. I mean, throw it out, throw it out, throw it out, throw it out. So we opened up this one box, and it's like all the stuff that I have, personal stuff of my mother's, all right? And I opened the box, we opened the box, and I just started to cry. So my brother said, "Okay, where do we put this box? We're taking it." You know, so it was sort of like he didn't really touch that. I mean, he, you know, and I guess, you know, she was my best friend. I mean, once I became an adult, we really became best friends. And it's, look, I said it's 26 years, and in June, oh, it's called tefillin, by the way, the thing you wrap around your the men's arms. It's tefillin.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yes. And the anniversary, and you might want to take on some of this because it sounds like on the it's called Yisker, okay? On the anniversary of the person's passing, you usually have some kind of like a celebration of life of the person. And I would invite people. There's three little girls that are named after my mother. So their mothers and them, and we did it all on Zoom. And I wanted them to get to know who my mom was. And so we just, you know, get together, tell stories like you and your brother are doing now. And it's very healing. It's very healing, especially as you talk to people. Like I didn't.
I found sitting Shiva for Joe Lieberman very
Oh,
therapeutic
that's
and
very
healing.
healing also.
And I was like, why doesn't everybody do this? And like also, not to be gross, but like it's wonderful to have food around, like as well. Like there was just, I was like, wow, I can cry and eat. Like I don't know. It was just they had it at their house in New York, and it was like it was just there were so many friends around and people I knew and like. You know, it's even like I remember I saw Jonathan Greenblatt there and I was like, what are you doing here? And he's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, what the fuck wouldn't I be here? What the hell do you think I'm doing here? I'm sad. And it's like, I don't know. I found I was like, God, all cultures should have some version of Shiva because it's a really beautiful and I
Healing,
think
very healing.
healing ceremony. For people who don't know, Jewish people sit for it's a week. Is that correct?
Some do it for a week,
Yeah.
some do it for 3 days. It's, you know,
The
And then
Liebermans, I
I
believe, did it for a week. And I didn't know they tear their clothes
Oh yeah.
as well, which was really
Well,
interesting
and
as
like if you're
well.
Reformed or conservative, you wear a black button, but when you're Orthodox, you rip your it's yeah, you rip your clothes. I did want to say one of the funniest things I thought I heard you say after Lieberman had passed. You said something about a lot of times you feel your father around and you haven't felt him around lately, and you said that's because he's up there with Lieberman and they're catching up or something.
After he died, I like
It
could
was
not
so
feel my
funny.
dad's presence at all. And I went and I talked to a psychic in New Orleans. Please do not judge this. And she was like, honestly, he's like having a great time. Did something happen? I was like, his best friend died. So that's probably, they're probably hanging out, having the greatest time ever. And
I
I like to
actually
think of
love
it
that.
that way.
Yeah.
No, it's not,
Because
it's true.
remember
I have had it
your lights
really.
wouldn't stop flickering and you couldn't figure out the electrical
Yes.
problem and we're like, "Oh, and then Joe Lieberman dies and
Yes.
the lights probably
Yes,
are
that was
fine
so
now."
weird. Yes, I forgot about that. But I always think like that's why I couldn't connect in the same way to what I felt like his energy because I was like, oh, they're probably just having the best time.
They're
Anyway,
watching
Elena, thank
Borat.
you. We have
It's nice
and we're
meeting you,
watching
Jimmy.
Borat.
They're
Thank you,
playing
Elena.
Borat, yes.
Watching
Thank you,
Borat.
Elena.
Thanks,
Yes.
Elena. See you on
Jimmy,
Wednesday.
do you want any hot topics or do you just want to say anything about, because I know you do so much work in the veterans community. You are a veteran, you're in the military. Is there anything you want to say
We'll
to
roll everything
anyone?
over to Wednesday. We'll just do all of our stories on
We have
Wednesday.
a ton of hot topics, but I don't even know.
We'll talk
Do you
about
want to talk
crackers.
about
We'll talk about Cracker Barrel
Cracker?
Wednesday.
Okay, wait, I have one for Jimmy. We have one hot topic, I promise, okay? All right, so Jimmy, a little fact about Jimmy is he loves going to Disneyland with his family. Ashley, I think you would define yourself as a Disney adult. Yeah, Ashley, our producer as well, a big
Okay,
Disney
Ashley, leave the room.
fan. No, it's fine. But okay, so, and Jimmy, I think you would maybe describe yourself as a Disney adult. You've done the cruises with your children. You like to go. In fairness, it's easier to go to Disneyland living in Arizona because it's just right in California. Okay, so Variety published an article this week. Could we please show number 13, the headline? That Disney is looking for an original IP to bring back young men 13 to 28 back to the brand because this is because the Star Wars machine is struggling to produce any film projects and the superhero genres are shedding audiences by the minute, which I did not know. And Disney's sweet spot at the movies has been millennials. That's my age. I'm not sure if you're a millennial, Jimmy. That generation
Yes.
rapidly consume classics like The New Lion King, 101 Dalmatians, the new Lilo and Stitch as kids, but now they like the new reviewed ones. And now we're all bringing our children to see the live action reboots. I'm this cliche because I took the girls to see the new Lilo and Stitch live action. They really enjoyed it. But Disney's having a hard time with young men. What did that surprise you? Does this article surprise you? And what do you think can be done to help bring more men over to the Disney to become Disney adults like you and Ashley?
Well, Ashley seems like the coolest person, so I just want her to know that. She rocks.
I believe Ashley went on her honeymoon to Disney World. Yeah, she did. So she's a hardcore.
That's what Jimmy I'm talking respects about. up front, full transparency, I am going to Disneyland on October 3rd with our sister. Bridget is taking me to Disneyland with my two boys. I just found out last night she's invited 25 people. So we are having a whole crew go to Disneyland in October. So me and Bridget's
friends with 25 people.
Because she's cool, man.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know.
My sister Bridget is an enigma. She does whatever the hell she wants, whenever the hell she wants. She thinks politics is so boring and stupid. Thinks my job is boring and stupid. So she's everyone's favorite.
Best person in the whole world.
She's really funny too.
She's my best friend. So about to answer the question, I mean, so I think this is entirely with young men, the fumble is Star Wars. Not to get into it, but I have a bunch of Star Wars tattoos. I grew up with Star Wars. I love Star Wars.
He loves Star Wars.
I think Star Wars is the reason I joined the military. And then when you grow up and you realize it's about Vietnam, it's the best. I think it's one of the greatest IPs ever made. And then Disney buys it. And everyone gets excited. And we're all like, Star Wars is going to be, it's back, right? We're going to get back. And then we did have some wins there. And then it starts to plummet. And look at the number one thing in Star Wars right now. It's Andor. Andor is about revolution and, you know.
Is that a movie or a show?
It's a show, right? It's a show. On Disney Plus.
Okay. Yeah. It's, the point of the show is it's about a young man who's a criminal who falls in with the rebellion. It's a very realistic view. They address death and how horrible it is. He ends up in prison and he's tortured by the Empire. It's a very humanist, realist view of what if you lived in Star Wars. It's not just funny aliens and everyone's happy with lightsabers. And Andor became this insane following behind it. And Diego Luna is the main guy. And it's, you know, you get all the crap out of Andor of people getting lost in the weeds. It's just a really good show.
You watch it?
Andor. I watched it 10 times. It is amazing.
Ashley, do you watch it? Ashley doesn't. Yeah. Okay.
This is for the men, I guess. Yeah.
It's very, it is, I would say.
You
very
watch
much
it,
here.
Miranda?
No. Sorry, okay. not to be like that.
I think
no,
Ben watched it.
I don't have time for anything. I'm trying to watch Hunting Wives.
Is it The Mandalorian?
Yeah, I mean, Mandalorian was good. I mean, that's amazing. But they leaned too heavily into Baby Grogu and all this. So
yeah.
The point of what I was getting to is they're like, why are we losing young men? And it's well, stop producing crap. Produce something that's good. Right? The middle movie, I don't care who knows this. I will go to prison for this. The Last Jedi is a horrible movie. And I don't care when people are like, it's actually misunderstood. No, it's not. It's a bad movie. Right. But I'm supposed to like it.
I like
because
the Wookiees.
Because they put $1 billion for it. Right. And that's my thing is they could fix Star Wars in a second. Right. They could fix Star Wars in a second. Just come out with one thing good.
Oh, the chat is popping off agreeing with
you. Yeah.
Last Jedi was so
and
bad.
Andor
so
raise
bad.
Your digital yeah. hand. Hold on 1 second. Really quick before we let the person in, I want to say, thing, Miranda, to both of you. Also in the article was talking about how the new Star Wars, I guess there's a Star Wars pavilion at Disneyland that has been a bust, that the fans didn't like and the Disney social media TikTok people didn't like. Again, I have not been. I don't know. Have you been? Did you? Is it bad? Is that another reason why it's not?
I'm not
men?
A Star Wars, I don't have a big emotional attachment to Star Wars. I liked it enough. The riser.
Ask Jimmy what his son's name
riser,
is. The first son.
I know what it is. The riser's super fun. My girls who are young and don't know anything about Star Wars love the rides, and they're big enough to go on them. They made them little kid friendly. And the Galaxy Lounge, please correct me, Jimmy, because I don't want to shatter your heart. The Cantina, I know the Cantina is
Ooga's
fun.
Cantina. I had to Google it. I swear I didn't.
Okay. 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 The Cantina, the drinks are really cool. Everything's super expensive, but it's cool.
Though,
delicious.
Right?
Well, everything at Disneyland is expensive. It's $15 for a caramel apple. And let's all get real.
Oh, God.
But it's $10 for a churro. But it's delicious and it's beautiful and it's very well done as far as I can tell. So Jimmy, please correct me
Wait,
if I'm
let's
wrong. You
bring
know the
our,
world.
we have one more. We're going to go over a little bit with this topic. I did not know this was going to be the hottest of hot topics.
Hi,
Hi,
Paige.
Paige. How
Hello.
are you? Do you have something
Hey.
to add to the Disney Star Wars Cantina dialogue
Not the
happening?
Star Wars part, but I do have a question for both of you as moms.
Sure.
Um,
And
so,
Jimmy's a dad.
and
He can
Jim,
help. Dad.
yeah, Jimmy's your dad, and you're actually, Jimmy, you're only a year older than me, so I truly believe my answer would be it does come back full circle. And I think once you get into parenthood, from what I've seen, it's just you're absorbed in back into it, whether you like it or not. So for the young men lost, yes, make the movies better. Because even I don't keep up anymore, and I still go back to my classic Disneys all the time. My question is more about Disney moms. I have two friends that take their kids to Disney World. I'm on the East Coast 4 to 6 times a year, and they
My
constantly
God.
post about Epcot. And I'm always just like, go to the freaking country, check it out, see what it's like.
Sure.
And
There are other places to go in the
it's a
world.
lot of money to spend too,
I don't understand. One of them, and it's a wonderful job to have. She is a stay-at-home mom. I do not understand how they have the money to just do this. And I just wanted your opinion
6 times a
on
year is every other month. That's everything.
us.
They go
I live in Los Angeles. I get this local SoCal discount. I could go probably anytime I wanted. We go every other year because it's too goddamn much Disney for me. And them, quite frankly, because you can only go on the Haunted Mansion so many times. I mean, the rides don't change.
Jimmy's
So
saying
there's
no.
never too much Haunted Mansion,
I
just so you
Jimmy, you live in Arizona. I mean, you go, okay, fair, because they do switch it over for Christmas and Halloween. Okay, so
I like the
that
Haunted
is fair.
Mansion.
We went way out. I mean, Megan, I took them special when it was Nightmare Before Christmas theme, but that's too much. And they do need to go somewhere else. That is way too much.
So your question is just, is it too
Do they live
much?
in
It's
Florida?
too.
Are they based in Florida? Is it like
They
in the
are based
backyard?
in New York where I am. I do not get it.
That's
I
odd.
think I actually have a good opinion on this.
Thank
I've like thought this one through, right?
you. I
He's like,
really
as
don't
someone who also
understand.
goes 6 times a year.
As someone, I think that like a huge trend in Disney adults is people almost like, and I mean this not to get like serious, but it's people like working through trauma, right? Like it's a happy place. Usually it's growing up, it was one of the happiest experiences of their lives when maybe once you went your whole childhood with your family and you were so happy and maybe your parents weren't fighting and et cetera, et cetera. And now that you're an adult, it reminds you of that, right? And it reminds you, and I'm not saying that's why I go. I go because I like freaking eating churros and I like riding the Haunted Mansion, right? But I think for a lot of
Excellent
people, it's
reason.
like it's this like reach back to a happy time. And that's why it's able to like chug along, right? Because it's like no one consciously, if I said to you, Paige, I'm gonna take you to a place where you're gonna be hot all day, you're gonna walk like 20 miles and you're gonna drop $3,000 for $200 worth of crap, you'd laugh at me out the door. But if I put a Mickey Mouse ears on it, you're right there, right? And
Yeah,
it's funny because
probably.
it's that emotional response. I mean,
But doesn't
me
the
and Bridget have talked about it.
oversaturation of it make it less special? If you
Oh
go
yeah, I
that
mean,
often, it's kind of like, okay, and we're going again, and we're
that's what
going
I would
again.
worry
We
about is
took
it
a.
maybe wouldn't be special for your friend's kids. Because if you're
Yeah.
going all the time, like once a year, whatever, you know what I
They're
mean? Like,
young.
but.
They're really young right now. They're, I think, around your kids' age, Megan. So, like,
They may
it's
not even
cute
remember
now. They have,
this.
you know, they have it on TV all the time. So, but I'm thinking when they get older, they might, you know. I always suggest, why don't you try Disneyland Paris? Like, there's other Disneys. Have you
One
been to
thing
Disney World at like City
I'm
Park?
gonna say that I will admit that I never thought I would even ever consider is Jimmy has been on, I believe, a Star Wars Disney cruise. Bless me, whatever, check. I just found out that the Disney Wish Cruise has a spa on it for women, like for parents.
Dude.
And I literally was like,
wait, wait, hold up. I might be interested in that.
You can drop your children off at a camp and then go to the spa. And I literally was looking up pricing and I was like, I feel like Ben's just going to have to guess. Ben is like, no.
Do we need to sell kidneys?
Yeah, and that video of that guy like jumping after his child that fell off a cruise, like Ben like couldn't handle. Like it was like the end.
He put his own kid up on the rail. He did that. That was his own fault.
Is that what happened?
So, like, the thing
but anyway, I've been considering
allegedly. Don't sue me.
Because nobody loves like Bob more than me.
Not to be a salesman for Disney Cruises or anything, but that's how me and Holly got sold on it. Was they essentially our friend went on
kids camp.
I was like, why would we go to Disney Cruise? He's like, dude, you can drop your kids off all day. You can get wrecked the entire time in the theater. Totally. Like, and I was like, whoa, wait. And then we tried it. They have a whole floor of the ship. You like drop your kid off. He's got a wristband so they can't leave. And if they do, like the ship shuts down. So you feel like safe. And then we like go eat and hang out for the whole day. Like it's actually a really great time.
There's a spa.
I would do it to go to the pool and go to the spa and like nap. And
that sounds wonderful.
Scroll on my phone.
Right?
Yes.
I know.
They have a Star Wars rave on the boat. So, like, me and Holly and the kids were sitting by the pool just enjoying it. Yeah. It literally was like,
my literal idea of hell.
Star Wars. Just boom, boom. And all these, like, Boba Fetts came out. And I was like, what is happening right now? Like, did someone spike my drink with acid? Like, what
is happening? So, I will admit, Paige, I have been dancing around the idea of possibly going on a Disney cruise at some point, but I feel like whatever once was cool left in my body will just evaporate into thin air because it's not.
We don't
not,
have
no
to
thanks.
Tell anyone about it. We could
I'd tell everybody. I'd come back and do a Hot Topic on it, like the end. Anyway, Paige, thank you so much for calling in. We are
Paige,
5 minutes
your gut instinct
over time.
On this is 100% correct. Six times is too much. Once, twice.
It's also just like wildly expensive. Jimmy, I'm going to read your bio again. Jim McCain is a veteran. My Jim. Brother.
James.
And you can find him at Jim MCAZ on. I love that you got to put the AZ. Jim Mick AZ.
McAz, yes.
Instagram. No Twitter, no
Big Arizona.
No, Jimmy was, you hate all those ones. And I don't even think this is your real Instagram, by the way. I think you have another one. You like switched it again.
Is this your public Instagram?
But is it private? Instagram is like memes. It's like funny memes. And your motorcycle.
And
7,000 Instagram stories of his motorcycle. So if you're interested in that content, Jimmy's Instagram is for you.
He's your guy.
Arizona's the best place to ride a bike in the world.
Jimmy has like 4 Arizona tattoos, including one that just says AZ. So lest we forget, and a cactus. And we cannot forget. If you look at Jimmy's body, you cannot forget that he's from Arizona or was in the military. Those are two things you will be able to get from your tattoos.
We were at a gas station the other day, and I took Luke into the restroom, my son, and he pointed at the wall with all the graffiti, and he goes, "It looks like you, Dad." And I was like, "Thanks, dude." Like, appreciate that.
It's your own kids, man. I'll get you every time.
I appreciate it, Megan. No, thank you very much. And
thank you for making time. Jimmy does have a real job. We didn't project it here, but you do have a day job. Yes. So please thank people at your industry, at your company, for letting you take this time too. We didn't talk anything bad. I know that everyone was worried. All right. I love you. Have a good
guys.
Rest of the
thank
day.
You. Hey, thank I did want to say if anyone watching or listening, go support your local VFW, your local Legion.
Yeah.
Veteran suicide rate is 22 a day. It's a forgotten group of people after 20 years of being asked of them. Nobody's really addressing. I think people consider, I just got to get serious for 1 minute. People consider that the war ended for everybody, and it didn't. We have 1.3 million people that served overseas, most of them living through traumatic experiences, and our suicide rate has not gone down after since the end of the war. Young men and women gave the majority of their lives over 20 years to try and defend and do the right thing. If you have any extra time, volunteer, give back. Veterans are a group of people. 70% of people who join the military have some form of family member who is also in the military, which means our entire nation's military is being based around one last group of people that still find it worth it. I just wanted to make sure I said that. So we have to respect and cultivate this last group of young men and women. People gave their lives, and war's over, but it's really not. We have more men and women overseas right now than we did towards the end of Afghanistan. Obviously, Syria is what it is, and the world's getting worse and worse, so we need good people. So anyways, I had to
All
say it.
true.
I appreciate
Also,
it.
Jimmy, everywhere I go, it doesn't matter on the planet, there's some connection to someone that Jimmy served with who wants to do me a favor, including, maybe you forgot this, on New Year's in Vegas, we could not get the hell out of the casino, and Jimmy somehow found a Marine that he knew that had a limousine to take us away from the casino and bring us to. And I was like, who the hell's that? And he was like, you know what? He was in my whatever, whatever. And I was like, okay, whatever. Every place I go on the planet, every hotel I check into, everything, there's someone that has served with you in the Marines, Jimmy. Semper Fi,
Exactly.
McCain, like Jim
Thank you.
McCain, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, my whole life. Just like dad. I served with your brother, blah,
Think
blah,
it's the best group of people in the world. I it's changed my entire way I look at life. The young men and women I've had a chance to serve alongside have just really shown that it doesn't matter where you come from or who you are, that they're the best people in the world. And it being an all-volunteer war, I mean, these were 20 years. What, if you really look at it, look, the nation's never asked of this, of a generation of people, now two generations of people ever in the history of our country. 20 years we were stuck over there. And and to really honestly, I'll say the quiet part out loud, to lose both wars. I mean, we didn't win either one of them. And that's hard. Look, I look at the World War II guys, and I look at how they become the greatest generation. The way I look at it is they had a goal: kill Hitler, destroy Hirohito, win. And they did it. Then they came back and they made this the greatest nation in the world. Vietnam happens, we lose that war. And now we have a devastated group. Now we have twice as long of a war with two more losses. So this generation is going to need as much support as they can because we go forward. It's just not going to get any better. So I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters, I had to say it. So,
Oh,
I
no, it's
appreciate it. It's
important.
important.
We could have talked about more serious things too, but thank you, Jimmy, again. Thank you for that at the end. And thank you all for asking questions and watching. We will be back again, same time, same place on Wednesday. We hope you have a wonderful day. Love you, Jimmy. Thank you again for your time.
Love you, Megan. Thank you. Miranda, nice meeting
You too.